Rife then found the frequencies that would destroy many viruses and bacteria. Doctors used Rife's instrument in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s and reported very high success rates. To receive the historic one-hour documentary about Dr. Royal Raymond Rife's lifelong quest to eliminate disease, call 1-888-486-4420. Call now for the free video and brochure about Rife's amazing discoveries. Call 1-888-486-4420 now.
American Freedom Network, and we're hoping to have Dr. Cuddy with us this morning. Dr. Cuddy is certainly a personal friend, the finest researcher we have out there, pulling together all the various aspects of what's going on. And I would simply point out that, Dr. Cuddy is going to start the program this morning with a quotation, certainly one of my favorites. It comes from Colonel Nasser, who actually ruled Egypt from about 1953 to 1971. But he wrote, he said, "You Americans never make stupid mistakes. You always make complicated stupid mistakes so that we always keep wondering if there's something we're missing." And Nasser couldn't figure out why the United States was doing what it's doing. I mean, certainly he was smart enough to know that there would brought communism to China, and of course, some years later, why we brought communism to Cuba. And if you doubt that, we have a wonderful interview that I personally did with a former ambassador to Havana. His name was E.T. Smith, Ambassador E.T. Smith. And if you get our video, it's called World Revolution, you'll actually see the interview I did with Ambassador Smith, where he tells how our State Department knew Fidel Castro was a communist. He knew Fidel Castro was a communist. The Secretary of State and the President knew Fidel Castro was a communist. We brought him to power, and you have to ask, why would you do something that stupid unintentionally? And with that as a background, Dr. Dennis Cuddy, how are you this morning, Dennis?
I'm hanging in there.
Okay, fine. Well, I was just using that wonderful quotation, but you go ahead and use it again, because I probably got one or two words a little off.
They just put me through, so which quotation?
Oh, I started with the quotation from Colonel Nasser.
Okay. Gamal Abdel Nasser was president of Egypt back in the 50s and later, but in this particular case, it was in 1957. And this is at the beginning of my latest News with Views column called Order Out of Chaos, where he says, quote, "The genius of you Americans is that you never make clear-cut stupid moves, only complicated stupid moves, which make us wonder at the possibility that there may be something we are missing," end quote. And, of course, he's absolutely right.
And, I was just pointing out that so much of what we do doesn't make sense to the average individual, and certainly to the leaders throughout the rest of the world. Why is America doing the things they're doing? It seems to be counterproductive. It seems to be destroying everything they stand for. But, of course, the people who are in control never make mistakes. They know what they're doing. They just want us to believe they made mistakes. You know, all shucks, we just don't know how those terrorists were able to attack our country. Shucks, we just are so stupid and incompetent, and we're not incompetent at all. We just can't let the American people know the agenda. So you pick up the story.
Well, and you would wonder if that's their excuse, then how come nobody's been fired? I mean, if they're acknowledging stupidity and incompetency, how come they say, in effect, yeah, these are the exact kind of people we want to stay in leadership positions?
Right.
I mean, it seems like you ought not to be able to have it both ways. But apparently they're getting away with it, and they've learned that lesson fairly well. Back in the early 60s, just a few years after Nasser made that quote, you had the State Department put a contract out, and Lincoln Bloomfield, a Council on Foreign Relations member, was writing up a report. It's Study Memorandum Number 7 was what it's called, and it goes on and on, but the particular quote that I've used is, he says, "If the communist dynamic were greatly abated, the West would lose whatever incentive it has for world government. Now, you would think that being good patriotic American types, somebody would yell about that and say, well, you know, what do you mean? We're at war with these communists and the evil Soviets and so forth. What are you talking about? Well, it wasn't condemned roundly at the time because it went to Dean Rusk, who was a Rhodes Scholar and Secretary of State. And this was the thinking, even, you know, 40 years ago, back in the old, good old patriotic days, before the, you know, peace movement and so forth came about. So this plan is, has been at work a long time. And the reason I titled this Order Out of Chaos is exactly what you were saying. You know, oh, shucks, you know, we just made these mistakes, and there's this terrible chaos over there in Iraq, and our boys are... soldiers are being killed every day practically over there, and my goodness, you know, how did this happen? And so what you hear is President Bush saying, well, he's sort of playing down this weapons of mass destruction, although I have said right from the very beginning that it was obvious they had them. After all, in the 80s we gave them the material to make chemical weapons, and so they did have them, but that's, you know, we've talked about that in the past. The point is, if the new slogan now is we're bringing democracy, or we brought democracy to Iraq, because Saddam is gone and now the people of Iraq are going to decide their own future, well, it seems fairly clear that unlike in the United States, their law has a lot to do with their religion. Sharia, as it's called, Islamic law. Now, Sharia law really is Islamic. It you know, it's not exclusively Shiite or Sunni, but basically it's Islamic law. And they have in their constitution all sorts of nice phrases about equality and so forth, but then they also say nothing shall violate Sharia or Islamic law. And so when you bring about this, quote, democracy, quote, what you have is a situation where, just like in Afghanistan recently, there was a man who's now left there, but he was originally charged with having converted from Christianity to Christianity from Islam, and the penalty was death for that. And everybody is now very pleased. Oh, isn't this wonderful? He wasn't killed. He's left the country. He's now in Italy. And my response is, well, wait a minute. You know, they didn't change the law over there in Afghanistan, where President Bush also brought, quote, democracy. And this is what the people of these countries who have been liberated actually want. They simply said that there, quote, wasn't enough evidence, meaning, you know, if they have evidence that you have converted from Islam to Christianity, you can still be killed, or that the fellow was suspected of having mental illness. And so we are supposed to take some pleasure in this release of this man, even though the law still says you can be killed if you converted from Islam to Christianity, or you've got a mental illness, which would fit perfectly with some of my other columns on news reviews about mental illness. We'll pick up after the break.
In a minute with Dr. Cuddy. And, of course, isn't it wonderful we brought democracy to Afghanistan? And we'll be right back here in just a moment.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of CNC Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
The American Freedom Network, KHNC 1360 AM, will be discontinuing all live Saturday programming as of April the 8th, 2006.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennis Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Modern Bible scholars teach that the church will miraculously be kept from the tribulation in an event called the rapture. Yet the Bible is strangely quiet about such an event. The Watchman's Cry is a fascinating new book by Obadiah Frank that makes the study of the last days understandable. Using clear explanations, the notion that the church will be raptured before the time of the Great Tribulation is proven a dangerous deception. The Watchman's Cry is available from the American Freedom Network for only $10 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
The story from there.
Sure. And so in Iraq, they have a similar provision within the law, and the Iraqi Shiites, who are the majority, advocate Sharia law. And the only reason there is whatever slight stability there is there is because the Shiites are the majority and have generally cooperated with the American process of bringing this democracy to that country, because we have told them that this part of this is majority rule. And so
they're the majority, so they're going to rule. Of course they like what's going on.
Right. And so that means there's a problem, because there's no real incentive for them to compromise with the Sunnis. You recently had Condoleezza Rice and other top-level American officials go over there and try to pressure them. But, you know, I mean, what pressure are they going to use? Are we going to withdraw all our forces? Well, I doubt that, and they know that. Plus, even if we did withdraw our forces, which is the usual thing you do with a country you're supporting, and say, well, if you don't do what we say you should do, we'll take our support away. Their position is, well, okay, fine. You know, we're a majority. The Sunnis were persecuting us for years. We've got allies in Iran who are Shiites, and we can win any expanded civil war. So, you know, tough luck with your threat about withdrawing. And so what you have here is a situation that's actually a dilemma that we've gotten ourselves into. And so in this article, I'm asking, you know, how did we arrive at that dilemma? And I went through a process, sort of a logical process, of seeing, you know, how did this play out? Of course, in the past, we've talked about the role of the Project for the New American Century, which is under the leadership of William Crystal, who is editor, publisher of the Weekly Standard magazine now. And they had, back during the Clinton years, even advocated Saddam's removal from power. And so when President Bush came into office, they had a lot of people, Paul Wolfowitz and others, in key positions, and it wasn't difficult to maneuver President Bush into this invasion. It seemed like a fairly simple tactic that they used. What they did is say, well, Saddam's not abiding by UN resolutions. You got to have some threat of force, so send a bunch of troops over there to the Gulf region, Kuwait, and in the Gulf on ships, and, you know, he'll get the message. And of course, Saddam delays, as he usually did. And then you've got these tremendous amount of forces now over there that you've built up, and you're in a position, if you're the president, of saying, well, now let's see, it's summer is coming up, and I've either got to invade now or start to withdraw these forces. And if I withdraw, I look like a coward. I can't do that, so let's invade. And so the tactic was fairly clear. But I do remember at the time, and this, it was curious to me at the time, that if the PNAC, as they're called, and William Crystal were such powerful people in the White House, and they could maneuver Bush into invasion, why was Crystal two or three times, I remember, on television expressing his fear that we would try to win this, as he said, quote, on the cheap with too few soldiers? They had, you know, good excuses. Former President Bush had to deploy about 600,000 forces just to get Saddam's troops out of Kuwait, not to, you know, occupy and secure and police and nation build a whole country. And so it was fairly obvious that just the 150,000 soldiers, roughly, that this President Bush had sent over there were not going to do any of that. And so I was wondering, you know, what the reason was. And there have been various explanations for this. For example, in this new book by the New York Times chief military correspondent Michael Gordon, it's called Cobra 2. He says, well, you know, this was just a failure to anticipate the level of the insurgency. That's all. You know, the sort of bumbling, incompetent excuse again.
Just another one of those stupid moves that the Americans are already making.
Yeah, sort of
they're
like
not
Nasser.
Stupid. They know what they're doing. They just can't let the American people know what they're doing.
Right. It's like Nasser said. You know, it's a very. In fact, you'll hear these people. It's a complete. I remember about a week ago, Condoleezza Rice and all of them on these talk shows kept saying, "Well, it's very complicated over there." That was the word. And so, you know, that's why it's really, really important that Nasser quote, because that's the word he used. He said only complicated, stupid moves. And so it just seemed to fit. You know, it's like she was listening or reading what Nasser had written and said, okay, well, you know, we'll make a complicated, stupid move and, you know, they won't know what's going on. But anyway, so they offer these various reasons. And I'm sitting there, and this is before the war now, and I'm scratching my head saying, now, wait a minute, you know, I've got this book myself, which is carried by Radio Liberty, called Cover Up, among other books. And in this book that came out before the war, I've got this quote by this exiled Iraqi lieutenant general, Tawfiq al-Yassiri. And he's explaining, before the war, what Saddam's strategy is, this urban guerrilla warfare, hit-and-run tactics, things like that. They'll be in the farms and the schoolhouses, and they won't wear uniforms and so on. And so I'm thinking, you know, if I can, you know, put this in a book, how come somebody in the administration doesn't see this? And so they just sort of bumble along here. And later, of course, more recently, we know that the Coalition Provisional Authority Administrator, Paul Bremer, who was formerly a managing director of Kissinger and Associates, and disbanded the army and so on, we know now that he had a secret memorandum that he discovered at least by July or August, just 4 months or so after the invasion, that said exactly this, that this was the plan from the get-go, Saddam's urban guerrilla warfare, and that's why they didn't put up much opposition when we came from Kuwait up to Baghdad. They actually wanted us to get to Baghdad rather quickly, because only then would we break out of a military combat position and into these smaller patrols that they could more easily attack with rocket-propelled grenades and roadside bombs and the like. And so at least by that point you would say, you know, Bremer is now alerting President Bush, who didn't foresee this for some reason. I mean, he didn't read my book or whatever. But at least by this time we know that the president and everybody knew that this was the strategy, and yet he still kept roughly that 150,000 soldiers over there, despite the fact that by that time he knew that there wasn't going to be this tremendous infusion of German troops and French troops and, you know, tons of money from the Europeans and so on, and that we were pretty much it. And so it almost looked like this was designed to fail. And so I was wondering, you know, if PNAC's really this powerful and they're maneuvering Bush into this war, how come they have this inability and Crystal's fear that we won't have enough forces to do the job? And so what I asked myself is, it's a Latin term, cui bono, meaning who benefits from this continued chaos there, despite the fact that 150,000 soldiers are simply not going to get the job done. And what I figured was that, yes, PNAC is powerful, but within PNAC are key individuals who are part of what I would call a larger group called the power elite, which sometimes works in cooperation with the aims of a group like PNAC, or there are other groups as well, but they have their own agenda which really desires this sort of chaos to continue. And so I looked for examples of that. You know, would the president continue to do, you know, complicated, stupid moves? And so that's why when you use that quote, Dr. Stan, from Major General Paul Eaton, about he was there toward the beginning, and he was supposed to build up the Iraqi army. And your listeners can find this in the New York Times, February 11th. It's a column by Tom, T-H-O-M, Shankar. And his title, General Says Training of Iraqi Troops Suffered from Poor Planning and Staffing. And what you read in that article is, quote, we set out to man, train, and equip an army for a country of 25 million with six men, General Eaton said. He worked into the autumn with a revolving door of individual loaned talent that would spend between 2 weeks and 2 months, he said, and never received. He never received even half the 250 professional staff members he had been promised, end quote. So if you're trying to build up the Iraqi army, you know, if that's the reason, well, we're only got 150,000 because if we put more over there, there's just more targets. What we need to do is build up the Iraqis. You know, if that sort of has a logic to it, then why would you deliberately have only six men with this General Eaton? And never, you know, we're into the fourth year, never have beefed that up to the 250 professional staff members he had been promised. And so that seemed to be an 250 professional staff, yeah, who had been promised to General Eaton, unless there was something else going on, unless there was a desire to have this sort of low-level continued chaos going on. And so what I looked at next is, okay, we're into the fourth year, what do we do now? And one of the people on the talk shows recently, March 19th, was Congressman John Murtha, who says, well, I'm concerned about our troops, and what we need to do is redeploy into what he called defensible areas so that the Iraqis would have to take over most of the military operations. And so I think he's well-intentioned, but I looked at what might happen if that were to occur. And what I see first is that the insurgents, and a lot of them are non-Iraqis, although some are, would probably strike more vigorously against the Shiites, and the purpose would be they would try to foment a larger sectarian civil war. That's what they want. And then the Shiites naturally would strike back against these insurgents, and the insurgents being largely in the Sunni areas, that's where their support comes from, would react to this in turn, because what they would see is that, ah, here we go, the Shiite majority is finally going to use force against us, because Saddam was a Sunni and Saddam had oppressed the Shiites for many years. And so what you would have then is a classic intensified sectarian civil war, which the Iraqi Shiites would win because their majority, and, you know, they can, like I said, they can get support from Iranian Shiites as well. And then I said, well, now, if that were to happen, the Shiite majority clearly in control with allies in Iran and so forth, that would not necessarily be what the power elite wants. What they want is a continued low-level chaos, because that does several things. First off, it wears people down. It's sort of like that Lincoln Bloomfield, you know, if the communist threat were greatly abated, the West would lose whatever incentive it has for world government. You have to keep a certain amount of chaos. You have to keep a certain amount of instability.
That has a psychological effect on the American people, too. It's a wonderful diversion, as well as the people over in Iraq.
Right.
And then we can keep our troops there indefinitely.
Well, yeah, your permanent military presence is the term. Plus, the power elite loves power, and they love money, and they love oil prices to be kept high. And so that's why I put a quote from The Guardian by Greg Palast. He wrote an article basically saying Bush did not bungle Iraq. And what he does is he refers to a secret 323-page plan that was by the State Department about what they would do with Iraqi oil. And what it said was there was a directive to Iraqis to maintain a state oil company that will enhance its relationship with OPEC. Now, like you said, Dr. Stan, you would think, you know, what do we want to do that for? Relationship with OPEC? OPEC is, you know, the ones who are keeping our prices high. Why would we want to do that? And so Palast says, well, every time the insurgents blew up a pipeline, the price of oil goes up. And big oil loves that. You know, so they don't mind these oil pipelines being blown up. It just increased their profits. In case you doubt that, what you need to remember is that before the war began in Iraq, 2002, the five top oil companies only made $34 billion. However, last year, in 2005, the top five oil companies made $113 billion in profit. Hey, think about that. That's over three times the profit. And so they benefit from this sort of chaos in Iraq. And as you said, this the chaos for the power elite has a multiple purpose. It not only wears down the Shiites and the Sunnis, it wears down the American public, the Israelis, the Palestinian Arabs, and so on. And so this is a very, very useful global tactic. And what that does is causes the people to accept external control. And we'll continue later.
We'll be back in just a moment with Dr. Dennis Studi.
Of Griffin Automotive, one of the proud sponsors of Rabbi Spivak's program. We are family-owned and operated, your new car alternative, specializing in one-owner, low-mileage Hondas, Toyotas, and Subarus, meticulously maintained, priced from $2,000 to $10,000. See us at Foothills and Pearl in Boulder, or call us at 303-447-9991. 303-447-9991.
Whether you're considering individual, family, or small business group insurance, consider getting the information you need from a licensed insurance broker. Neil Muhlberg can help you find the best prices available and sort through a broad selection of plans from leading health insurance companies such as Humana, PacifiCare, Imerica, or Blue Cross Blue Shield. Secure your future and freedom to choose. Call Neil Muhlberg at 303-499-2735. Neil is a longtime supporter of the American Freedom Network, and he will give you the personalized care that you deserve. Neil specializes in high-deductible health savings account qualified plans where you can get reduced premiums and the ability to use prepaid tax dollars to pay for covered and uncovered medical expenses such as dental and alternative care. Copay plans are also available. Neil offers inexpensive accident plans, network dental, critical illness, disability, and life insurance. Use Neil as your agent broker. Call 303-499-2735.
16 of 16 terminally ill cancer patients fully recovered during a 1934 study sponsored by Dr. Milbank Johnson and the University of Southern California using Dr. Royal Rife's frequency generator. Rife invented the world's most powerful optical microscope capable of seeing a living virus. With it, he isolated bacteria and viruses that cause many diseases, such as asthma, allergies, arthritis, bronchitis, colitis, diabetes, Epstein-Barr, fibromyalgia, herpes, lupus, migraines, shingles, staph, strep, psoriasis, and more. Rife then found the frequencies that would destroy many viruses and bacteria. Doctors used Rife's instrument in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s and reported very high success rates. To receive the historic one-hour documentary about Dr. Royal Raymond Rife's lifelong quest to eliminate disease, call 1-888-486-4420. Call now for the free video and brochure about Rife's amazing discoveries. Call 1-888-486-4420 now.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found BioSuperfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural BioSuperfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network. And remember, we were told, oh, we had to go over there to, you know, to Iraq to get their oil. That's why we went in. Well, actually, it's not more oil. It's less oil. I mean, what was Saddam's crimes was he was providing lots of oil. If he was selling oil, and the more oil there is on the market, the less money the oil companies make. If you can shut down the supply of oil, you can justify boosting up the price. And if you think the price is high now, you just wait until we get into a war with Iran, and you haven't seen anything at all. Go ahead and pick up the story there, Dennis.
Well, you're right, because there's this sort of global pool that this oil supposedly goes into, and so it's not like, you know, we can carve out our own niche in this. The Europeans would be yelling and screaming. It's a global situation. It's very much like when we got into GATT, which included the World Trade Organization. Newt Gingrich, who ultimately voted for it, at least he did warn to the public. He said, look, once you get into this, it's going to be extremely difficult, if not impossible, to get out of it because you're so intermeshed globally, financially, in terms of trade and the various contractual agreements. And, you know, multinational corporations are making decisions about the location of plants based on the fact that there is this World Trade Organization. And so the same thing occurs with this and oil. And then, you know, we've already talked about the memos that we have from three big oil companies saying, you know, the only way we can really get a lot of profits, and this is some years ago, they say it was by limiting the refining capacity. And so that's, you know, one explanation as to why a lot of refineries have not been built in recent history. And so it's a limitation of the supply, and of course that drives up the price. So back to what I was saying about the purpose in this chaos is you have to have a certain amount of chaos. The Israelis and the Palestinian Arabs, you know, you have to have the Hamas there with their attacks and then the Israeli response, and the purpose behind all of this is it wears people down. It's very much like Tavistock's the theory of social turbulence that Fred Emery with Tavistock came up with, where he said people will go into psychological retreat if they're confronted with these crises. It'll be, you know, too much for them to handle. And so what happens is at that level, when people go into psychological retreat, then fewer people can control events, and you can manipulate things as well. And so what would happen is the people are worn down, the Arabs, Israelis, Sunnis, Shiites, Americans, and so on. What they would come to do is to be more willing to accept external control by this global political, economic, and so forth managers. And the managers, of course, would bring in this world government order out of this chaos. And by that time, all parties will, of course, accept this because they will be worn out, you know, too worn out to resist what's going on. And so that would seem to explain why President Bush keeps saying we're going to stay the course. I mean, if you have a failed policy, why would you want to stay the course of failure?
Unless you had a specific agenda. But you couldn't dare tell the American people that, because they would rise up in their righteous indignation and saying, our boys are dying over there. The Iraqi civilians are dying over there. I mean, you don't have a right to have an agenda. We didn't elect you, you know, to bring democracy to the whole world, which seemed to be your program.
That's right. And in case you think I'm saying that President Bush is some kind of evil genius calculating all of this, he really isn't. He's a, in my opinion, he's a pawn of the power elite. And the power elite, pretty well, whether it's Clinton or Bush, calls the marching orders. Now, what they would do is say it's advice. You know, we'll give him advice as to what to do, and they would advise him that if he didn't continue this current policy, he'd be admitting mistakes, and you don't want to do that. If you start to draw down your troops, that will look cowardly, and you don't want to do that. But if you increase them, that's looking more like an occupation, so you don't want to do that. You know the rhetoric. That's what's used. And so he is largely a product of the advice that he's given or not given. And so he's a pawn, just like President Clinton. And that reminded me of Professor Carol Quigley's quote in Tragedy and Hope. I think you got the page number there, I believe, for it, where Quigley is saying the argument that the two parties should represent opposed ideals, policies, one perhaps to the right and the other to the left, is a foolish idea, acceptable only to doctrinaire and academic thinkers. Instead, the two parties should be almost identical so that the American people can, quote, throw the rascals out, quote, at any election without leading to any profound or extensive shifts in policy, end quote. And that's what we got.
Sure.
You had President Clinton originally saying when he was running for office that he was not going to do what that Republican George H.W. Bush, the president from 89 to 93, had done, opening up communist China and those evil dictators over there with their human rights violations and support most favored nation status. Of course, once Clinton gets in, yeah, he's all for it. He's changed. You know, he's read the Riot Act by Lloyd Benson, Secretary of the Treasury or somebody, and he says, yeah, I'm for that too.
And so, I remember George W. Bush saying, you know, I'm not going to go into this nation building like Clinton is. And what did he do? He's going to the nation building, just like Clinton did in Bosnia and Kosovo. So, I mean, they say what the American people want to hear, but both political parties are controlled by exactly the same philosophy, by exactly the same people, but they let us go to the polls every 4 years to vote for the candidate of their choice.
Right. Now, if you bring that up to the Bush people or Bush supporters, they'll say, oh, but the president said everything changed on 9/11. You know, yeah, that may have been true before, but no. That's not the case. And 9/11 changed it. See, that changed his thinking, and now we have this war on terrorism, and it's lasting indefinitely. And that's why we have the Patriot Act and so forth. But actually, if you look at that statement about everything changed after 9/11, what you find is that's not completely candid, because even before 9/11, you remember on that IndiaReacts.com, they had this little map on there showing the joint military action that would be taken by the U.S. forces and the Soviet forces against the Taliban if they didn't do what we said, which was basically agree with what we wanted to get that oil from the Caspian region down through Afghanistan into India and Pakistan and so on. And so all of this, in fact, there was a recent comment, I think, over in England. One of the ministers over in England was recounting a meeting where I believe he said President Bush was calculating a pretext for invasion of Iraq, and this is before 9/11. You know? So if 9/11 has changed everything, how come before 9/11, and I put some of this in my book Cover Up, they're already mapping out plans, I think like February or March, just 2 months after the current President Bush came into office, for how can we remove Saddam?
Oh, you know, Chris, that article, that book, The Price of Loyalty by Paul O'Neill, he tells, and he was the Secretary of Treasury, and he said it was in late January or early February. He was
right.
Going to National Security Council meetings with Rumsfeld and Cheney, and they were saying, how are we going to get a justification for a preemptive attack on Iraq? How will we sell that to the American people? And Paul O'Neill is sitting there shaking his head and saying, we're talking about national security issues, and you're talking about how we're going to attack Iraq. And they already had all the plans made for dividing up the oil. And, ladies and gentlemen, we've been lied to at every turn. The American boys are dying because of it.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245. The American Freedom Network.
Hi, I'm Ann Johnson, owner of Brightside Health Food Store. I believe my ministry is to help heal the sick, and that God is allowing me to reach people through superior products. StressX has over 45 years of research by 1,200 scientists and 3,300 studies. StressX has proven itself superior when compared to other products and passes all requirements for Olympic athletes. Call me at 303-833-2784 to find out how StressX boosts your energy, improves performance, increases endurance, and provides greater mental alertness. That's 303-833-2784.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
Do you suffer with bad breath, bleeding gums, gingivitis, or canker sores? Or would you like to keep your mouth healthy without using harmful chemicals? Vitamir has the answer. A natural and effective toothpaste and mouthwash with a unique and patented formula that thousands are using and feeling that squeaky clean sensation. To order or for more information, call our toll-free number, 888-558-8482. Remember, the beginning of your health starts with your mouth. Vitamir products are available at most fine health food stores, including Vitamin Cottage, Whole Foods Markets, and Sunflower Market. Or you can visit us online at www.vitamyr.com. That's www.vitamyr.com. Call us today at 888-558-8482.
back here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest is Dr. Dennis Cuddy. We do carry his book, Cover Up. We carry his book, September 11th, Prior Knowledge. We carry a number of other books. The Road to Socialism, The Timeline for the New World Order According to Education. We carry the NEA Power Grab. If you'd like to know how to get his books, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And we're hoping very soon to have back in print copies of his book, Secret Records Revealed, which is a very important book. But we'll talk to you later about how we hope to get that one in print. Anyway, pick up the story there, Dennis.
Okay. So the point we were at is that you want to wear the public down, Americans, Shiites, Sunnis, Israelis, and so forth, so that they'll be willing to accept this global managerial authority. At that point, you say, well, you know, the American people will never put up with that. And what about China? You know, they're dictators themselves, and they wouldn't mind rolling tanks over anybody getting in their way. And so they'll never, the Chinese would never submit to this power elite. But you have to remember what tools the power elite has available. For example, look what happened to the mighty United States when just three planes flew into some buildings. What if there were another major terrorist attack? We already have quotation by Tommy Franks about the public, if that happened, would be willing to accept almost a military rule in this country.
Dictatorship, right?
Right. What happened? What if nations' computer systems, quote, just happened to fail? If the power elite could access them, and all of a sudden, all of our computers or key industries were just shut down. What about a flu pandemic? Large segments of the population having to be forcibly quarantined in China or here. What if nations' crops failed? You know, no food for 6 months because of weather modification. We know there's weather modification going on now. And what if they just happen to have earthquakes? In case you think this is a bit far stretched, remember that it was Secretary of Defense under Bill Clinton, William Cohen, at an April 28, 1997 conference on terrorism, and he said there are those who, quote, are engaging in even an eco-type of terrorism whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes and volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves, end quote. So before you say, oh, we would never submit, or the communist Chinese would never submit, remember, there are various tools that are very persuasive at coercing people into submission to a authority. And so what you have is a psychology at work here. It's like George Orwell in his 1984 book, talking about Big Brother, where Big Brother's agent, who's named O'Brien, said that you will actually come to love Big Brother. Winston Smith is actually, you know, beginning to go along with the pressure, and he's still getting zapped and whacked by these people. So, you know, what are you doing that for? I'm starting to agree with you. And they said, no, you don't understand. We want you to love us and accept us willingly. You know, you need to change your thinking and realize that what we're doing is for the best and so on. And so, this is very much, I recall, like the North Koreans, the psychology that they used. They would torture prisoners. This is back in the Korean War. And initially, the prisoners would resent them, you know, you're beating me, and I hate you, and so on. But then what they would do is periodically they show some small kindness to the prisoner. And after a period of this, you know, beating kindness, what would happen is a lot of the prisoners would actually start expressing appreciation to these torturers for giving them these small kindnesses when the torturers are the ones who are causing their pain in the first place. And so it's a process, a conditioning process, whereby people will be conditioned to come to love Big Brother and this rule by the power elite and the security that it provides and your food for you and so on. And so what I did was I looked back at Alexis de Tocqueville, who was writing a long time ago, 1840, his book, Democracy in America. And I'm not sure how much longer. I don't think we've got much time, but I'll just start reading this quote from de Tocqueville and see if this sounds familiar. This is 1840. He says, "Above this race of men stands an immense and tutelary power, which takes upon itself alone to secure their gratifications and to watch over their fate. That power is absolute, minute, regular, provident, and mild. It would be like the authority of a parent, It provides for their security, foresees and supplies their necessities, facilitates their pleasures, manages their principal concerns, directs their industry. After having thus successively taken each member of the community in its powerful grasp and fashioned him at will, the supreme power then extends its arm over the whole community. It covers the surface of society with a network of small, complicated rules, minute and uniform. The will of man is not shattered, but softened, bent, and guided. It does not tyrannize, but it compresses, enervates, extinguishes, and stupefies a people till each nation is reduced to nothing better than a flock of timid and industrious animals of which the government is the shepherd. It is vain to summon a people who have been rendered so dependent on the central power to choose from time to time the representatives of that power. This rare and brief exercise of their free choice will not prevent them from gradually losing the faculties of thinking, feeling, and acting for themselves, and thus gradually falling below the level of humanity, end quote. And that was very prescient. De Tocqueville had it right on target. Back in 1840, he saw what would happen in the future. And Professor Quigley, whom I mentioned earlier, in his Tragedy and Hope, more recently, this is 1966, he basically was saying something similar. He said, quote, freedom and choice will be controlled within very narrow alternatives by the fact that he, the person, will be numbered from birth and followed as a number through his educational training, his required military and other public service, his tax contributions, his health and medical requirements, and his final retirement and death benefits, end quote. So Quigley knew that there would be this tracking, this planning, this direction of individuals, this maintenance of records on just about everything we do. And so and you'll say, well, you know, Americans are too intelligent for that. Well, you know, ask yourself, do Americans, after watching a lot of garbage on TV, are they even aware that American companies aren't really American anymore? Do they know that Amoco's profits are going to England? That Purina's and Gerber's profits are going to Switzerland, that Transamerica's profits are going to the Netherlands, and that many American companies now are actually have been sold to foreign enterprises. In general, the sound recording industries are 97% foreign-owned, metal ore mining is 65% foreign-owned, motion picture and video industry 64% foreign-owned, and it goes on.
We're out of time now. God bless you. Thanks very much for being with us. We are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. And they don't even know the battle's going on. Bye-bye.
Thanks, man.
American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silver Biotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support, doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states, Silver Biotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silver Biotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman, not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a Mile High Energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at Denver.org. Sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Pain, it can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPain.
Well, I can stand back here. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Daniel Scuddy, certainly one of my favorite guests, and hope yours as well. Let me just point out, we do carry Dr. Cuddy's books, his book, The Cover-Up. It's called Cover-Up, September 11th, Prior Knowledge, and they did that no end of time. Exactly what was going to happen, but we need an excuse to go to war with Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran and Syria and the whole Muslim world. How could we possibly get this a tremendous World War III that is planned going if we didn't have what happened on 9/11, September 11th, Prior Knowledge? They knew. Children, little kids in New York were bringing their cameras to school so they could take pictures on September 11th of the attack on the World Trade Center. But we're told our FBI and CIA, they get $44 billion a year. They had no idea what was going to happen. It's all there in Dr. Cuddy's books. Then, of course, his book on the New World Order, Timeline for the New World Order, his book on the Road to Socialism, and certainly his book, NEA Power Grab. We recommend them all. We have his new book on mental health. We have another a pamphlet that he's put together for his articles on mental health screening. We have been targeted. You can get all of Dr. Cuddy's items by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. And then I would simply I'll remind you, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, if you haven't read it, you should. It will give you the background of the spiritual forces that energize and control the power elite, because they are simply pawns in this game as well. We book ordinary markets for $12.95. You can get 64 of them for $149.95. I am hoping by the end of this week we will close the offer. But if you use a case of the books, you can sell them for whatever you want to. But it is an excellent tool. It is an excellent weapon. So if you would want to help us as far as getting this reprinting done, you won't get the books till they're reprinted. $149.95 plus shipping. You'll get a case of books, but an excellent means of reaching other people and changing their lives. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And it will close this offer probably the end of this week or the first of next week. Then, of course, if you have not yet seen my videos of the Brotherhood of Darkness and the DVD, we have those available. But we also carry a new video, relatively new. It's called World Revolution. It contains my interview in 1980 with Ambassador Smith, who will tell you, we knew Fidel Castro was a communist when we brought him to power. Why would we do something that stupid? Why, he's one of the finest enemies money can buy, and now he's organizing South America, working with Hugo Chavez to turn them against us. Now we'll have another enemy to unite the American people behind our fearless leaders who are there to protect us. And we love them because they're so kind to us. Ladies and gentlemen, understand, everything is manipulation. So the video, World Revolution, we recommend it. Of course, we recommend the secret mysteries of America's beginning, going into the secret society that is responsible for the emblem on the back of the dollar bill, the unfinished pyramid with the triangle hovering above, the emblem of the ancient mystery religions. If you've never seen that movie that goes into the man who would be king, it all is about that emblem you see on the back of your dollar bill. These are emblems of the secret societies, and although the Masons use it, it long antedates Masonry. Masonry is the modern-day manifestation of the ancient mystery religions. Their goal, a world order under Lucifer. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. So until tomorrow at the same time, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at Amerifree.com.
Hi, Hi, I'm Linda.
And I'm Jesse. We're the owners of BillOfRightsPress.com.
When you're looking for books or media that the government wishes would just go away,
go to BillOfRightsPress.com.
Controversial? You bet. Secure? Most definitely.
Yeah, but how about privacy?
Hey, I shred all our customers' info 30 days after their order is shipped.
If we don't have it, they can't get it.
Now that's total privacy.
You can call in your order at 970-391-2364.
Mail your order directly to us.
Or buy online at BillOfRightsPress.com.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet